Hi, it's Leanne Dolan, and my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical, is out now and available everywhere. People magazine chose it as an April pick of the month, one of the best this week. A hopeful take on commitment, they said, and an innovative story about marriage. Sounds juicy. The Marriage Sabbatical, out now, available everywhere.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. We're so happy to have you here today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Los Angeles. I'm a writer, producer. I live in Pasadena, California with a couple of grown sons and my big dog, Steffi.
I'm Liz Dolan. I'm here with Leanne in the Wondery Sunset Studios. That's where we record on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood. But I live in Santa Monica in the other direction from Leanne with my dog, Hooper.
Oh, well, I'm Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister. I have a dog, too, now, Oliver, who's a year old. So I live with him. This week, I'm in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. I'm an empty nester. I have two grown sons. I'm an urban nana. I have five grandchildren, which I'm very proud of. And I'm happy to be with you both, sisters.
And Julie, what did I entitle this episode? What is this episode?
You said, prepare to hodgepodge.
That's right.
Can you break that down? Can you explain what that means?
Little behind the scenes here. We're wrapping up our season. Mm-hmm. We're recording two shows today. Mm-hmm. So today we're doing this week's show you're listening to right now. Yeah. This is our Prepare to Hodgepodge. And then next week is our full summer hodgepodge show. But we're also recording that today.
Yeah.
So just,
and the hodgepodge, it's the indication that there's no driving theme for this show.
No.
It's just,
well, basically, we're staying away from all news stories.
Yes.
Yes.
I know. Well, except the really important ones that are focused on weddings, Julie. We're going deep into some wedding news stories. Let's see. What else do we have? Well, you have a couple of news stories that are related to the moon and
the moon,
space
right,
race.
Right, of course, the moon landing anniversary. And then the entertainment I'm seeking, now that you can no longer even turn on your TV because the news is so horrific, spending a lot of time on YouTube, have a couple of recommendations of just super fun YouTube videos you need to watch.
That may be a new low for entertaining sisters.
I know. I got halfway through Chernobyl and I just had to take a break. So that's why I went to YouTube.
I mean, the day Liz Dolan recommends YouTube videos is the day news is dead. I mean,
okay, that is really it's the beginning of the end.
Wow. All right, but last week I previewed that I was going to talk about like what my husband and I did for couple time on our week's vacation at Rancho La Puerta.
Okay. Yes.
So I was at a health and wellness spa in Tecate, Mexico. I was writing a story for Pasadena Magazine, which will be out in the September-October issue. And so I brought my husband along because the story pitch was, you know, two type A's go to a health spa. Can they actually relax?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That was the pitch because we've just had both of us individually have had just a long, long, long work years. So the last like 14 months for him and the last 12 months for me, we've really almost been working 7 days a week, super long days. It has meant like not a lot of together time.
Okay.
And so I thought like one, we need this, and two, it's a good pitch for a story because I was curious actually if my husband could relax.
And I mean, I bet he was thinking the same thing. Perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, you
about
guys,
you
got, yeah. I mean, you guys know him. He's not that relaxed.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
No, I was at your house before the engagement party.
Yeah.
And you two were go, 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 go the whole time.
We had a lot to do. We had a lot to do.
Your
in
husband
a short
is
time.
A man of action. He's just a man of action.
He is. And he can't think of a worse vacation than sitting on a beach relaxing. Like that to him is, there's no point in that. Mm-hmm. Like if he's not doing 20 things in a day. But I really wanted us to make a concerted effort. So I had a couple goals, like let's do some together time, let's do some relaxing, and we have to do it for the article. So I said, okay, we need to do one guided meditation class. All right. I want us to do that. I have been trying for 26 years to get him to take yoga. almost every week when I go to yoga, I say, would you like to come to yoga with me? And he says, no, I'm not ready yet. For 26 years, he hasn't been ready. Okay. There's hiking on the menu at Rancho La Puerta. Yes. I'm not a big hiker.
Your favorite, hiking.
I, as you know, very vocal non-hiker, but he does enjoy it. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I could just try a little bit more. I could put myself out there for that. Okay, we're going to do that. They offered hands-on cooking classes there. A wonderful chef from Los Angeles, Valerie Gordon, came. You get to go to the cooking school, prepare dinner. I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I prepare 99.9% of the meals in our house, and I have for 26 years.
And you're good at it.
And thank you, Liz. Mm-hmm. And he does nothing. So,
well, he enjoys your cooking.
He does.
I mean, that's. I mean, he appreciates.
Yes.
It's not like he doesn't appreciate your delicious cooking.
So I thought, okay, let's see if he can. We can do this together. Will it be fun together, or will I be bossing him around? And both of those things were true, Liz. And then finally, the unexpected thing we did was take an inner fitness workshop together. Okay. Mm. So how did it go? You're wondering how it went. Okay. The guided meditation. We both hated it. No, so it's just.
What did you hate about it?
I found it. Well, one, I was tired. So I can understand why when you started meditation classes, you went right to sleep.
Yeah.
Like our teacher did warn us, don't lie down. But I was just tired by the end of the day. I'd done like 6 fitness classes and a hike. So I was sort of leaning back. I just didn't take me where I thought it would go.
Yeah.
Did I find lying down for an hour relaxing? Yes. Didn't take me where I wanted to go. I looked over at my husband at one point. He was like doing an Excel spreadsheet in his head. I could just
the thought bubble tell. Over his head.
That did not work. Yeah. So, you know, fine. Well,
it takes a little practice.
It does.
Meditation.
It does.
You're not going to get it on the first try.
It does. So we gave it a try, and there you go.
And that's first and last time.
And then the yoga couldn't get him to go. Just wouldn't do it. He just doesn't want to take it.
Yeah.
So you know what? I have to. It's not his time. It's not his time, Julie. I don't know what that means. It's not his time. Okay. The hiking. We had some surprisingly fun hikes. I have to say that. He's not a joiner. So there were group hikes, you know, led by the people who know where to hike and how to do it and how long to go. But that's not for him. So he did.
Nobody's going to tell him where to hike.
No.
You mean you were just hiking around in those mountains? You weren't even going with the guides?
Exactly, Julie. Yeah. He did some reconnaissance the first day. He did a 10-mile run.
Jeez.
And then we settled. He knew he didn't want to do a lot of elevation, but there was a fun obstacle course there. So a couple days, we did the obstacle course together.
Just the two of you together doing an obstacle course? Okay, hilarious.
And did you two enjoy it?
Enjoyed it a lot. And he was like climbing up the wall and like pulling up the barrel. And I did a few things. I mainly was worried about injuring myself going over some things and under the netting. But I enjoyed the walking part and watching him. So that was good.
Okay.
And every morning we got up at like 6 a.m. and did that. So good.
Busy, busy, busy.
We did it. So that worked. Okay. The cooking class. We both really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
But my husband has no feel for cooking. Like at one I mean.
You didn't laugh at him, did you, Liam?
I didn't. But he had to do roasted cauliflower. It was delicious. Roasted cauliflower with a little mint. That's a nice herb to put on it, Julie. Herb it up with
herb
the mint.
Herb it up. Yep.
But watching him put the cauliflower on the roasting pan, like in perfect rows and everything. I thought I was going to go out of my mind. I'm like, just coil it on and spread it out. And then, of course, we couldn't fit all 3 roasting pans in. So we just had to pile it on and spread it out. But we had a lot of fun. I made the farro salad. He made the roasted cauliflower. Other people were cooking. It was super enjoyable. We really enjoyed Valerie, who taught the class. We had a delicious meal together. Win, win, win.
Great.
Will we be doing more cooking at home? I would do it if he was into it.
It's just not his time.
How about hiking around Pasadena, Leon?
You know what? We every Saturday now, because we're empty nesters, Julie, or as my son likes to say, wow, you guys are old. We do walk the dog 4 to 5 miles every Saturday.
Okay, that's
together.
Very good. Maybe set up your own obstacle course
together.
In the backyard.
That's what we need. Because we have that arroyo, so it's like a hiking trail, and we go up hills and stuff. Okay, but the real surprise, you guys, was the workshop. Okay, we took this inner fitness workshop, and it was billed as like listening to your inner voice, learning to choose love over fear, developing emotional fluency. Mm. These are all things my husband has never considered in his entire life. Okay. So, and it was led by a really good life coach, Emily Bornstein. She teaches every month at Rancho La Puerta. So this is a dynamic program. It's a 5-part series. And I thought, like, let's just go to the first one again, because I'm writing this article. And mm-hmm. I said, we're going to try this stuff because we're really uptight. So let's go. And so we went. And what surprised me the most was the next day, when there were many activities, he goes, are we going back to part 2 of the workshop? Oh. I was like, oh, my gosh, there's
breakthrough.
Breakthrough. Liz, emotional fluency. We were getting to some.
You're working your way up that ladder. Julie Liam's holding up a big emotional fluency ladder.
Yeah. She was fantastic. And we're going to put a link at the website because honestly, yeah. You can go look her up and you can look up this inner course that we did, this inner guidance course. I actually think it was great. Like, I am open to things like this. I've never gone to a life coach. But she was fantastic. And I feel like everybody could learn something.
Sure. Yes.
Everybody has some work to do on themselves.
No doubt.
That's what I know at this point in my life. Mm-hmm. Everybody could use a little work. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, our journey as a couple, the first day we came out, we're like, oh yeah, we know some people that need this class. Oh yeah. And like day two, we're like, oh yeah, that person right there, they are stuck in that trap. And by the third day, we're like, oh, this is us. Oh, she's talking about us. Oh, we're those people.
Really?
Yeah. So that's growth.
Well, that's growth,
yes.
Leanne. Personal growth.
Thank you.
As a couple, I'm that's impressive, Leanne.
Thank you. Thank you. And then because it was driven by him, I'm like, okay, well, fantastic. So we really enjoyed that piece of it. It sparked a lot of conversation, which
that's good.
When you've been married as long as we have, you're desperate for new avenues of conversation.
That's
right?
Good.
Well, it's nice to try things but not to mock it. It sounds like it really was, if you're open to new things, you can have some personal growth from
That's
it.
That's exactly it. Like he was taking notes and, you know, we were thinking it through afterwards and I sent him her website after just so he could have it for his files if he wanted to print anything out. And yeah, we really, really enjoyed it. So
That's
I have
great.
To say that was kind of a win-win. The hiking, surprisingly good.
Yeah.
The cooking and the workshop, the inner growth.
That's 3 things in the course of 1 week. That's a lot.
I think it's pretty good.
As a couple.
Yeah. So now.
All right, Leanne, one final question.
Yeah.
Do you think you would go back as a couple to continue this personal growth journey you two are on now?
I do. Like, I liked when he said, you know, we could come back for just the 4-day stint. And this is, you know, he was sort of into it. And they actually have a couple. They have a week that's called, like, getting close to people, or that's not the name of the week. It's like the art of coming.
That sounds scary, actually, getting close to people.
Well, I want to say it's like couples week, but they mean it like you could be a romantic couple or you could be a mother daughter or father son, or, you know, you don't have to be a romantic couple. Mm-hmm. They have a couple of special weeks. That may be a bridge too far for him, but he would definitely go back. We enjoyed it. And I have to say, good for us.
Good for you.
Really,
yeah.
You know, 26 years. It's
hard to embrace growth at this point.
You get stuck in some trenches, Liz.
Yeah.
I believe they're traps.
Okay. She's circling things on the emotional fluency ladder.
Self-pity, confusion, hostility, self-righteousness, and just you're freaking numb occasionally. Those are traps.
Those are all traps.
But you can go up the ladder, Liz. You can keep climbing up the ladder. You don't have to stay in one place.
What's at the very top of that ladder? Okay.
Love.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Love, happiness.
Yeah. Well-being, satisfaction.
Passion is at the top of the ladder.
Right. We'll take it. Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
I mean,
good for you, Leanne.
Yeah.
Congratulations
Thank you very much to both of you. Thank you.
Well, while you were working your way up the ladder, Leanne, I went back to Brooklyn. This is my urban Nana report. I was there visiting my 2 grandchildren, Evelyn. My relationship is going very well, and Josephine. But I also managed to arrive, sisters, in time for that giant heat wave that gripped most, or, you know, a good portion of the country.
That looked so bad.
Here's, and I know, Liz, you've lived in New York. Leanne, you've lived in New York. And you know what I was saying about New York City, that, you know, different parts of the country, we have heat. We have a lot of heat in Dallas, Texas. Okay. I mean, I am not afraid of hot weather. I'm really not even afraid of cold weather because I lived in Moscow, Russia. But you know what they have in New York City? That's not dry heat. They have dirty heat is what they have.
It's true.
Oh my gosh.
It is a particular kind of grime that like envelops you. I mean, it was too hot to go to the park by 9 a.m. All the play equipment in the park, the swings, the jungle gym, they were hot to the touch. The children were going to burn their hands. They were going to have a lovely block party on Will and Lauren's block. How fun. This was going to be great. One of their neighbors is a professional DJ. He had moved this big sound machine outside. They had gotten permission. They had opened up one of the fire hydrant and they had sprinklers going. It was too darn hot. Children were literally melting there. Oh. So, I mean, that was bad. Liz, it was too hot for the MTA. At one point on Friday, the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 trains came to a complete stop at rush hour because somehow they lost communication with all the subway trains, and the MTA did not know where these trains were, so they just shut down all lines.
And you know, people were trapped in the cars?
All the cars. Yeah, people were trapped in the cars. A miracle. It was a miracle that we were stopped at a station and I was able to get out and walk the rest of the way. But that was like...
Oh, wow. That sounds
so
terrible.
It was just, you know, it's just a dirty heat there. It's really hard. But I was there to see my grandchildren and also to check on my son. As we have talked on Satellite Sisters, my son developed the Guillain-Barré syndrome and he has, you know, he's made a recovery from it. But so I went to go see him on Friday at his offices. He invited me to come to his offices. He introduced me as his mom around the office.
Wow. Had you ever been there before?
I know. No, I'd never been there. I really wanted to take pictures, but I just held it together and just, you know, tried to not ruin it. So I was there. I was walking around in Midtown. I was going to meet him. And, you know, one of the things when you're in New York, you know, you have to like really walk fast. Now, I'm a fast walker, but you know, when you go to New York, everybody is walking fast, but not anymore, sisters. Now, walking in Midtown is actually, I think, a hazard because so many people are stop suddenly and pose for a picture of themselves. Yeah. Have you seen this?
There's just in Europe, in Rome and Paris, it was the same, like just everywhere. Like
too many selfies.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are just posing all the time. So I was nearly running into them. So that was not too good. I love to people watch when I'm there. I saw lots of fun sunglasses, which was one of, you know, fashion trends for the summer.
Yeah.
Lots of great colors. No bandanas in New York City.
No bandanas. Okay. Good report.
All right, but here's the thing that I'm going to add to the fashion list for the summer, and it's not too late. I know it's towards the end of July, but we have plenty of summer left. Every man, woman, and child in New York City is wearing big white sneakers. What's up with that? They're all wearing
just plain white. That's the look.
Yeah, just big white sneakers. Mm-hmm. I really, on the subway where I was nearly trapped, I looked down. I was like, how do they keep them so white in the subway? But that is really a thing. It doesn't matter whether you're wearing shorts or a dress or a suit. Everybody's got white sneakers on. So add that to your list with your bandana, your fun sunglasses, some big white shoes.
Kimono. Okay.
Now, over in Brooklyn, I am sorry to say it is still nonstop kale over there.
I mean,
I really thought, Liz and Leanne, that by now people would be giving up kale, you know, like we would have moved on, like maybe bok choy or something like that. But, you know, iced kale, you know, smoothies because it was hot. No, that's terrible. You know, it's just kale salad, kale, everything stuffed with kale. I'm hopeful that some other vegetable is going to supplant kale at some point.
I thought cauliflower was the new kale. I thought with all that, like when even Liam's husband is roasting cauliflower, you know, like cauliflower is on the move.
I know. It does seem like it, Liz, but maybe it was too hot for cauliflower. Yeah. That week. But as I said, one of my principal reasons for being there was to check on my son. And now he has given the medically, he is clear. But as anyone that has ever recovered from an illness or surgery, you know, like just because the doctor said you can go back to work, it doesn't mean you've made a full recovery yet. You know, I think people think, oh, you're back at work, so you're back to 100%. Well, maybe not. And I think it's, you know, I just wanted to be up there to kind of support him, you know, and support, you know, as because they're a busy couple, they have two little kids, and just, you know, do some babysitting so that they have a little extra time. Because I think that's one of the things that many people who, you know, when they're recovering, they don't have enough, it's really hard to get your energy back, even if you're medically clear, to really feel like you have the energy to do that job. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. So with this Guillain-Barré syndrome, he's just still very fatigued. Is that what it is?
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil, youthful, Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Well, some of it is fatigue. He does his physical therapy, and all of that. But I don't think he's like full strength yet. Mm. And I think he would admit to that as well. So, you know, and we talked about ways to build his energy through maybe through yoga, Leon, maybe through Tai Chi, any way to get your energy back, even though medically he's doing fine. So,
okay. Well, that's, you know, it's good to hear that medically he's in the clear at least.
Yes.
So if he has enough time and support from Urban Nana and others, he can get his energy back. Okay. Well, that was nice of you to be there.
I was happy to be there. He finds having a big kale smoothie every morning helps him.
Okay. So that's where you part ways.
We do part ways, so Leanne. Yeah.
All right. Excellent report. All right. Stay with us. We have wedding news coming up. We're going to talk about astronaut training. And then, of course, we have entertaining sisters. But first, we want to thank a couple of sponsors.
Okay, Leah, now, even though, you know, title of today's show is Prepare to Hodgepodge, we do have some actual news. You had a story you wanted to share from Oregon about high school students who have made a change in the law there.
Yeah, Liz, this really caught my eye because, you know, I like to pay attention to things happening in high schools. My kids are no longer in high schools, but I found it to be just a very volatile period for kids' mental health. Mm-hmm. You know, there are tons of studies that have come out about how this is the most depressed generation, the most anxious generation. There's so much pressure on them for college. Social media adds a whole level of pressure on them that we just absolutely did not deal with. Yeah. And, you know, what happens in high school, it seems that high school age is things that are maybe small problems in middle school become really serious problems in high school. Yeah. So I was interested to read about this group of kids in Oregon, these high school students who lobbied the state government and were successful in getting mental health days approved as a legit excuse for missing school.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it would be tempting to say, oh, that's coddling, because I think people throw around the term mental health day when they're really just like getting their hair cut.
Yes.
But, you know, right? Yeah. I mean, that's sort of a joke. So it has been. But these high school kids, they're in it and they've seen it. And they were inspired by the Parkland kids who they saw create some real change. And they saw their classmates struggling with mental health issues. And you're not really allowed to call the office and say, I'm having an anxiety attack. You have to make up an excuse like, oh, I have a cold. And so,
oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
I mean, so their point was like, if it's a legitimate excuse, then that in and of itself destigmatizes the anxiety and depression that pops up in so many American kids in high school.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can name it and say it, then you can start to deal with it and treat it and have conversations. And I just thought that was a really interesting piece of legislation that could be easily misrepresented. If you just read the headline, you're like, oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then when you think about it in action, there, you know, they had people like the parents of a suicide survivor or suicide victim.
Yeah.
A young girl who took her life by suicide, and the parents testified like, this would have been really helpful for us. You know, she was only 14. Mm. Like, this is just beginning.
They're so young.
They're so young.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if other states follow suit, Leanne, because, you know, I think it is it's an unaddressed issue, teenage mental health and what's the best way to do it. And it, as you said, it does destigmatize it.
Right. And you know, right. If you have to lie about it, you're already
sending the wrong message.
You're already sending the wrong message. So good for those kids. I think that's a really important step forward. And I hope other states do take a look at it. I hope they do. You know, suicide is like the number two cause of death of kids.
It's so shocking, isn't it?
And the rates for girls are going up every year. Boys used to far outpace girls, and now that's not the case. So these are important issues and good for
these kids.
So
you have to start trying some new things.
Yes, right. The current system is not serving kids well in this fishbowl that they're living in now with social media. So good for those kids.
Okay, well, here is something that swept social media last week, sisters, and I'm sure you saw this all over your social feeds, the side-by-side portraits of your friends at their current age and then at some future unspecified age. I'm not really that interested in aging myself, so I didn't do it. But did either of you do it, use the Face app?
I didn't see it till days after. Like, I was busy working on Deadline on a couple stories last week, so then I was like, what? And by the time I saw it, it was already exposed as a fraud.
Okay.
Listen, Leanne, I'm already old, so I didn't need the app to make my face look old, you know?
Okay, so it sort of swept through all of our Facebook pages, and then all the stories broke about how it was a Russian app, and don't download Russian apps, because then it would upload all the data on your phone, and then that was not true either, but then some senator still said it, quote, posed a national security threat, and people started to freak out about it and delete it, so I felt really smug about it at first that I hadn't done it, but then I realized that every week at Operation Sea Turtle on the Facebook group, I upload a photo of myself. So I'm not exactly faking out the Russians at this point because there are plenty of photos of me on Facebook. But then the Russian company called Wireless Lab, this is the company that invented the app, they told TechCrunch that, oh, you don't need to worry because they only store your photos in the cloud for 48 hours and then they all go away. So I just want to say,
don't believe that.
Exactly.
I don't think you should,
Julie,
believe that.
Right. That was my last thought on this story. If you believe Russian data mining companies, well, there's nothing I can do to help you at this point. There's nothing more about that we can say if you believe what they tell you. Never mind the American data mining companies, for that matter. So then I moved on to a more positive technology story, which is astronaut training. This made me really happy. You know, last week was the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. So it was like all moon all the time. And NASA has decided that we are going to go back to the moon. So I was very happy to see this story. The headline in the LA Times was, "Soon, a female moonwalk." And the deal is that NASA has a new lunar astronaut program to train the astronauts who are going to be the next ones on the moon. And they have vowed that the next time a pair of astronauts set foot on the moon, one of them will be a female. So, okay, yay, but it's about damn time. But yay, okay, yay. I mean, there have been a lot of women in space, yes, since the fabulous Sally Ride broke that glass ceiling. But, you know, it was only men on the moon, so now women are going to the moon. But as part of this, they have named their new lunar program, you know, it was Apollo. Well, the new program is Artemis.
Oh,
and
excellent.
Leanne, when I hear the word Artemis, when I hear the name Artemis, I naturally think of you.
Thank you, Liz.
Would you care to tell us who Artemis is?
Sure. Well, Artemis is the goddess, the Greek goddess of the hunt, is how most people know her. You see her on a stag. She's often portrayed as, you know, naked on a stag with a bow. She is the goddess I actually did my senior thesis on in college, the origins of the goddess Artemis. But interestingly, you know, she is also the goddess of, she has a lot of duties, including like childbirth and death, which seriously, because those two were things were so closely related in the ancient world because childbirth was so dangerous and continues to be dangerous. So childbirth and death, also sort of a girl's coming of age. There would be ceremonies where you'd pray to Artemis again, like, uh-oh, now you're a woman. Things could go horribly wrong for you. But the Artemis most people think about is the one on the stag. Like, she had a guy chasing her. She wasn't into it. Looked at him, turned him into a stag. Done. Done with him. So she's like a strong...
Oh, that it could be that easy.
Yeah. Powerful, naked woman riding through the world on her own terms, is what I would say.
So that's what we want to see. Role model for us all. So Artemis is the name of the new NASA space program. She is also the twin sister of Apollo, the sun god. So she's also known as the goddess of the moon as well, right? So anyway, that's what it said in the paper. You're looking like I'm wrong. I trust your judgment. Anyway,
I was thinking, wasn't that Athena? But okay.
I just want to say, Artemis, great to see you back in the headlines. We're just happy to see you. Happy to see Artemis back in the news.
Well, can we stay on the moon theme? Because I would like to recommend to both of you and to our satellite sisters a Metropolitan exhibit in New York. It's for the 50th anniversary of the moons, but it's on photography of the moon, and it's through the ages. And this exhibit has, it's five different galleries of the role of photography played in scientific study and artistic interpretation of the moon. And it starts from the earliest sketches that were inspired by the works of Galileo, to you've never seen these all together, that it's a French atlas that displayed these two French scientists when they first discovered photography. One of the first subjects was, how can we take pictures of the moon? And these two scientists took 14 years to take a photograph of every facet of the moon, and they have them laid out in the galleries. They're absolutely amazing pictures. And until we did our NASA did our own moon shot, these were the scientific basis for most study of the moon. So it's really, really amazing to see. Included in this exhibit, they have live feeds of the moon landing. And then they have a whole nother two galleries of art that was inspired by the moonshot. And one of my favorite items that they have in there is there was a period of time, a short period of time, where paper dresses were very popular, and they have one in there that has a giant rocket on the front of it. So it's really neat to see. This is an exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum. It's there through September 22nd. But if you happen to be in New York, I would highly recommend it. It's a great exhibit to see.
Oh, that sounds great. Thanks, Julie.
Right, Julie. Yes, of course, she is Apollo's twin sister.
Yes.
I just.
Okay, we got that. But now we're going to talk about weddings, right, Leanne?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and now I'm going to start off, and I don't want to be a judge, so I'll let you be the judge of this. Amanda Knox, who you know, that was apparently wrongfully imprisoned for the murder of her roommate in Italy. Well, she and her fiance, Christopher Robinson, are getting married, and they announced, and this was in People magazine, a crowdsourcing site for their wedding because they want to have, quote unquote, the best party ever. So they don't need more stuff. That's what they said. But for a $25 donation, you can help their family and friends to have the best party ever. They're looking for, you know, they'll use the $25 towards lights, sound, props, and costumes. If you want to give $500, sisters, then they, when they play Madonna's Lucky Star at their wedding reception, they'll do a shout out of your name at the party. I don't know how you're going to know, but that's going to happen. Now, $1,000, they're going to send you a book of poetry, that they wrote. And for $2,000, if you want to go that big, then they will actually send you a personalized video. So I don't know. I mean, Amanda Knox was in the news most recently because she was back in Italy for the first time since she was in prison, testifying for the Innocence Project of Italy, which, you know, is a great organization and helps, you know, get people who have been wrongfully incarcerated out of prison. And she has over 50,000 followers on Instagram. But somehow to me, it just seems that she's trading on her notoriety in order to fund a really the best party ever. But
no kidding.
What do you think?
I mean, I have no problem with Amanda Knox. I mean, she seems like she kind of got railroaded and, you know, I'm glad she's not rotting in jail in Italy. But why on earth would I want to pay for her wedding?
That's what I would say. I don't understand any crowdfunding.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I mean, I just don't. I don't get it. Like, unless I literally know the person, I don't know. I don't know.
You feel like you're being manipulated?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, some, I just, yeah, if you want a $10,000 wedding, you know, throw a $10,000 wedding. Or if you want to take a trip to Europe, like you see crowdfunding, like, oh, my son wants to go on a program to Europe. Well, who doesn't? I mean, I don't know. Okay. It's a part of the sharing economy. I'm like,
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand why you would want to do that. But obviously they think people will want to contribute, right?
So yeah.
I guess so.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Well,
this is the part
it.
Of celebrity culture that I don't get at all.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to donate. That's
no,
the good
true.
News. No one has to donate.
Okay, I will not be donating.
All right, but here's another story about weddings and money that really kind of broke my heart from the New York Times. The headline was written by Rihanna Picton James, Go Broke or Go Home Bachelorette Parties. And she wants to answer the question, what happens when friends are consumed by wanting their bachelorette parties to be picture perfect at any cost? Now, with the rise of social media, Liz and Julie, what you've seen is these bachelorette parties have become de rigueur for people who cannot afford $100,000 bachelorette parties. Like, you cannot compare yourself to an Instagram influencer who's getting that weekend in Las Vegas completely free.
Right.
But some modern brides feel they do. And so this column was written by a woman who was invited to be a bridesmaid at her, you know, longtime friend's wedding, which included a lot of expenses, including this really over-the-top bridesmaid party that she knew she could not afford. And when she actually spoke up and said, you know, I just can't make this budget, mm-hmm. they cut her off the list and eventually out of the wedding party.
Really?
Yeah. This is so sad because, I mean, these are women that were satellite sisters to each other. You assume mm-hmm. that, right? Because they, you know, the bride asked them to be in, you know, her wedding. They're her closest friends. And to have it all come apart, over expenses and over this sense that you've got to post, you know, the most trendy bridesmaid party, bachelorette party. It's got to stop at some point.
That's a heartbreaker. Even the out of control weddings were getting me, but now all this bridesmaid stuff on top of it. How could you possibly afford that at the age most of these young women are?
And it's wedding after wedding after wedding.
That's right. All your friends tend to get married.
Right.
Like in gangs.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, do you really need the matching bridesmaid, you know, the robes,
gift bags, right? I mean, all of the things that, you know, special necklaces, you know, I know that I've heard that some mothers of the bride, that they end up paying for the bridesmaids to get together because they've recognized that they're young working people. They don't have the money to travel, to go to all these exotic places and to have these over the top parties.
Yeah, there's a whole nother story on the growing popularity of the bridesmaid's robe. That's what I was trying to say, Liz.
See, I've never heard of that.
Of course you haven't. Here they all are in their matching bridesmaid's robes.
So you've got to have matching bridesmaids.
But you just can't do that to your satellite sisters.
No.
And you don't, what you won't remember years from now is, you know, the specialty cocktails that you had at a bachelorette party. But you will remember just the feel of like, how great it was to have your friends together at your wedding,
right?
You know, to be there. So, okay, a little perspective on that.
Okay.
All right, now we're going to wind up this wedding block with a block of cheese. Okay.
Wait,
first
what?
Of all,
Somebody had a cheesy wedding?
This is the greatest wedding announcement of all time. I know I say that a lot in the New York Times.
You do.
Well, this is a perfect way to cap our summer of cheese boarding.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have a special relationship now with cheese.
Yes.
We have a lot of people cheese boarding on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. We've reached out. We built a relationship with the Cabot Creamery. Mm-hmm. We have people posting about their dairy cows now on the Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Like, we're pro cheese, I think it's fair to say.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so here is Dr. Danielle Greenman and Stephen Gellert got married last weekend in New Marlborough, Massachusetts. Now, she's a doctor, so good for her. She sounds excellent and really qualified. But he is the executive vice president of the world's best cheeses, an importer and distributor of cheeses and specialty foods, of which his dad is the president. The groom, listen to these qualifications, Liz and Julie. The groom is an American Cheese Society certified cheese professional and a member of the Guilde Internationale de Fromagère.
How you said that, Leanne.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Come on.
I bet that's hard to get into.
Woo.
So it's like being a sommelier, but for fromage.
Oui, oui. I mean, those are some credentials in the cheese world. And this is it. Turns out they had mutual family friends. They met on a dating app, but, you know, they got some backup from uncles and stuff. Like, no, you got to go out with her. And like, it sounds like it was love at first sight, but it was certainly love at second sight because the bride, she was going to a wedding shower like a week after she met him. And she said, do you want to come with me as my date? Now, that's a big risk. Couple shower weekend.
A lot to ask. Lot.
And you know what he did, Liz? He bought 15 of his top cheeses to the wedding shower.
Okay, marry him.
I mean, marry him. And do I even have to tell you what they had for their wedding cake?
Cheesecake?
No, it was a stack of a dozen of his best cheeses stacked up.
Wow.
I mean, cheesecake is also a good guess. But people posted pictures of those wedding cakes, those cheese wedding cakes on the Facebook group, and I thought they must be kidding. And then boom, verified, New York Times, fromagers.
Fact. fromage fox. So, wow, I'm very excited for them.
Do you see that this is going to be a new trend in weddings? More cheese in weddings?
More cheese. Yes, I'm hopeful.
Would be good. That would be a good development.
Yeah, fantastic. More cheese.
Less bridesmaids' robes,
more cheese. More cheese. Yeah, more genuine giving. So congratulations to the Gellerts. I'm very happy for them.
Yes.
Right. You sound very happy for them, Liam.
It's our summer of cheese. What could be more perfect than ending our summer of cheese with a cheese wedding?
All right, we're going to thank a few sponsors, and then we'll be back with a little quick entertaining sisters.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free-for-a-year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Okay, before we get into entertaining sisters, I just want to preview a little something we have coming up next week. Leon and Julie, next week, my co-host on my other podcast,
yeah,
Rico Galliano, is my co-host on Safe for Work. He's going to be joining us, which, you know, I know, Leon, you've met him. Julie, you haven't met him in person, but super fun. We have a lot of fun together on Safe for Work. But he's also the author of a book called Brunch is Hell, How to Save the World by Throwing a Dinner Party. So he's going to give us a little entertaining advice for the summer while we're off, you know, in our backyards entertaining people. Also, he has his first child due in September.
Ooh, that's exciting, Liz.
Yes. So I told him we could offer some advice.
Sure.
I've got
some advice for him.
And one last thing. He texted me last week. He had been listening to Satellite Sisters, and he said, I have been to a cow knuffelin farm in the Netherlands. He heard you talking about it, Leon. And he said, though I did not knuffle any cows.
Oh.
I think he was doing a story. He used to work on Marketplace, uh-huh. And he would do these stories in various places. So he was doing a Marketplace story in Holland and went to a cow knuffelin farm. So just
of course he has. Sound anyway, cutting edge.
So he'll be here next week. That will be fun.
Did you tell everybody you made the list of good housekeeping? Did you
no.
tell people that?
No, yeah, yeah.
Tell people that list. You Safe okay. for Work, number two podcast.
Yeah, it's a hot list. We were named the second best podcast of 2019 in this big list that Good Housekeeping published. And so that's pretty exciting. What's even more exciting is number one on the list was Serial, season 3 of Serial. And then the other people on the list, like The Dropout, the one about, you know, Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes, that was under us on the list.
Unbelievable.
The Moth, under us on
good
the list.
Housekeeping, like, housekeeping seal of approval, Liz.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So I finally figured out, well, everyone needs career advice at one point or another, you know?
Right.
So we have a lot of fun doing the show. So do listen to that. And you'll meet Rico next week.
Great.
But okay, so I was thinking about entertainment. As we said at the top of the show, I got like halfway through that Chernobyl series that I'm like, I'm sorry, on top of everything else in the world, I just can't. I'm just going to have to stop. I will get back to this. And so I sought some more, you know, refreshing, positive, fun entertainment on YouTube. So I have two videos I'm going to recommend. Maybe you've seen them. I don't care. Watch them again. I've watched them.
They'll make you laugh.
Dozens of times. Julie, I know you saw number one. Number one is Serena Williams versus those men from, it's a sports entertainment group in Texas called Dude Perfect. So it's the dudes from Dude Perfect on the other side of the net trying to return a serve by Serena Williams. And the reason they did this is because this just makes me laugh every time I read it. In a global online survey, 12% of all men who responded actually thought they could return Serena Williams' serve.
And score a point.
They could actually score a point against Serena Williams. So in a very delightful and fun way, not only does she prove that, oh yeah, there's no chance of that, dudes, but then she starts hitting all these targets. There are all of these goofy things that they do. You saw it, Julie, right?
I mean, that she's hitting basketballs. She's hitting tennis balls through basketball hoops. She's hitting water balloons that are suspended overhead. I mean, it just, it's the amount of talent and skill. It was just astounding. And the guy's reaction was the best because they were like, you're the best, Serena. And I just love it because during matches, she's so serious. She's so focused. Yeah. And this, you get to see Serena laughing. Mm-hmm. She is having a ball. And, you know, it really does make you smile.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a good one. The second one I want to recommend, again, you may have seen it. I don't care. Watch it again. Last week, there was a new video that is Steph Curry in his car with his daughters in the backseat, his adorable daughters, Riley and Ryan, and they are singing You'll Be Back from Hamilton, which apparently he said in the message, he said, we've done this 1,000 times, but this is the first time we've done it on camera. So it's actually, it's an ad for Infinity. I don't care. It still made me laugh. So Infinity tricked out the big car with all the cameras. So it's like a carpool karaoke of Steph in the front seat. They start off with some funny kid jokes. And then he turns on the music and they all sing along. And it is just 100% delightful, people. Like you,
they know all the words.
They know all the words.
You know, they have great dramatic facial expressions. The two daughters are adorable.
And they just really, at the end, he's like, okay, we really got to belt it out at the end. And they do. So when he says we've done this 1,000 times, you can tell. Probably anytime they drive somewhere, they sing along to Hamilton. And as a Hamilton fan, hardcore Hamilton fan myself, it just made me so happy. So there you go. Serena Williams video on YouTube, Steph Curry video on YouTube. I recommend.
Excellent. Okay. Let's see. What else? Well, we'd like to thank Sergio Enriquez for engineering our show today. We would also like to thank our sponsors.
Thank you for supporting our sponsors because they support us. So it makes the whole thing work.
And let's see. Okay, so next week we have Rika. We are pre-taping that show. So if something happens in the world,
we're not going to know about
it. So it's just a summer hodgepodge. So just bear that in mind if you're listening. To-do list, Liz, what do you got on your to-do list?
Well, sisters, I'm surprised that I'm saying this out loud. For the first time in my life, this weekend, I am going to Iowa. I don't know how it is that I've
Are you running for president, Liz? Is that why you're going?
Just considering a last minute jump in. No, I am not running for president. I am actually, like, other than my podcasts, I'm working on a sports project that is in the track and field world. And this weekend in Des Moines is the USA Nationals. It's when the United States has picks the team that will go to the World Championships at the end of September. So for a lot of reasons, I'm going to be, it's at the track at Drake. And so I'm going to be in Des Moines this weekend. And as I say, I've never been to Iowa. And I'm looking at the map a bit like everything east of Iowa or north to south of Iowa. I've been to Minnesota, Missouri, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana. I've been to all of those places. The other way, Iowa going the other way. Okay, I've been to Kansas, but no, never been to Nebraska. Anyway, whatever. Iowa.
I'm looking forward to Iowa. For not reading that entire map to us.
I just didn't want to think people to think that I never visit the middle of the country.
Yeah.
I've visited many places. So here I go. Iowa, here we come.
Julie, what do you have?
I am going to be practicing the Danish concept of Nixon. Have you heard this?
No.
Okay, I'll let you. This could be true or could not be true, but I'm going to do it either way. Nixon is a stress-reducing practice from the Netherlands, and Nixon literally means to do nothing. So you, in order to reduce stress, you do something like you stare out the window without a purpose. That is practicing Nixon. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that. Okay?
You should try that. Yeah.
I think it could be fake. I think this could be fake news. They just want people to be staring out the window. But I'm going to try it. So Nixon, here I come.
There you go.
Okay.
There
you go. How about you? Anything on your to-do?
You know, not really.
That's fine.
Sorry. I am.
Maybe
just,
you'd like to practice Nixon too, Liam.
Yes, I would like to practice Nixon. I'm just wrapping up a lot of stuff. I did a lot of writing this week, a lot of other stuff. And so, just wrapping it up. Just wrapping it up. All right. We would like to wish everybody a good week.
Yep.
Sisters, have a great week.
You too, Liam.
You too, Liam.
All right. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.